U.S. Senator Mitch McConnell has been in the hospital since June 14th, but he and his staff said very little about the reason why or his condition until almost a month later. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss the senator's health, the questions it raises, and Kentucky's process for filling Senate vacancies are Kenton County Republican Party Chairman Shane Nome. Welcome back, Shane.
Glad to be here.
And political commentator Al Cross. Thank you so much for being here, Al.
Glad to be with you.
Al, Senator McConnell, as I mentioned, was admitted to the hospital June 14th. Can you walk us through what his team made public right away and sort of how the speculation grew about his condition?
Well, I kept a running timeline of all that, and I didn't have it called up because I didn't know you were going to ask me that question. But let me see if I can call that up right now. We'll just have something to go by.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to sneak up on you, Al.
Let's see. I'm in the wrong file now. Listeners, please bear with us.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think it kind of started with he's getting excellent care, that sort of thing. Shane, were you paying close attention to that also?
Yeah. The statement came out saying that he had been hospitalized, had an incident at home, and was getting great care, and was looking forward to getting back to work. And that was followed with several members of the Senate that had spoken to him and shared their conversations with him. So glad to hear he's back up and at it, but we'll be excited to get him back to work at the Senate soon.
Yeah.
Well, of course, those conversations got talked about only after there were. There was a report of the audio from the first responders call to his home in Washington. And, there was reference to an unconscious person, and the dispatcher, not one of the first responders on the scene, said cardiac arrest. I think McConnell and his folks decided they needed to go through some friendly filters to reassure folks that, yes, he was still alive. But he's always been a very private person about his health. And I think here in the last 6 months of his career, he's probably a little more stubborn than usual. And I also would speculate that this is a particularly difficult challenge. And that may make him all the more stubborn. I'm not. I don't have much doubt that Mitch McConnell is still alive and that he is under rehabilitation, as he said he was. And I believe that he will be back to the Senate at some point, especially if the Republicans really need a crucial vote. And I think we'll probably see him in a wheelchair. I think he's been reluctant to use a wheelchair, has used it when he had to, but now I think it's going to be standard procedure. All that said, I'll say what I said in a column about this. His relative silence on this subject created a vacuum that was filled by speculation, conspiracy theories, misinformation, and maybe even disinformation. And that kind of stuff further erodes public confidence in the political system and the people in it. And I think it's incumbent upon the people in that system not to let that happen. And I think he's been blind to that requirement. I believe it's a requirement, and just has preferred to remain private. And I understand his thinking. I spent several hours with him in May for an interview that is embargoed until November. It's going to be part of a Kentucky Historical Society summary of his career. I didn't see any cognition problems. He does have hearing issues, and sometimes that may make people think he has a cognition issue. And the main thing I came away from those encounters with was the fact that he's very frail. Both times had three people walk him in, one on each arm and one walking behind him. and he is clearly vulnerable to falls. And in his statement, 4 weeks after his hospitalization, he said that he had suffered falls, or maybe that was the doctor who said that. Anyway, that led me to wonder about the cardiac arrest line. You know, when an old person, 84 years old, suffers a bad fall, the impact can stop their heart briefly. That is not a heart attack. So he very well may have suffered cardiac arrest, but he denied that he had suffered a heart attack, and he denied that he had suffered a stroke. And I believe him. You know, as I said after that statement came out, I've known Mitch McConnell and his office staff for 40 years, and they are not in the hoax business.
Shane, when's the last time you talked with Senator McConnell? You have worked for him in the past, right?
Yeah. I worked for him several different occasions on campaign side and official side. And I'm not sure if it was before or after Al, but in late May, I was up in D.C., spent some time with him, had a really great talk. You know, you never get out of a conversation with him without him peppering you about local politics. And coming in up to the May primary, he was asking this person, that person, what's this race looking like? Trying to get a preview of how some of the local races were going to turn out. So I always have to be on my A game coming into that kind of a setting with him.
Make sure you've done your homework, huh?
Absolutely. But, you know, I think, you know, I'd be curious to know if book sales have soared after he's been in the news lately. There's two books. One was his autobiography, The Long Game, which came out around 2014. And the other one, I think it came out about a year and a half ago. That was The Price of Power by Tackett. And I think both of these books, I highly recommend anybody that's interested in Kentucky politics, the history of the U.S. Senate, or McConnell personally, to read these, both of them, and you'll really understand McConnell and the way he operates and his methodical, quiet response to things and his personal response to health. You know,
I would also recommend Republican Leader by John David Dyke, which was the first biography of McConnell. And it was a sympathetic biography, but it was not a, quote, authorized, end quote, biography. I think John David did a good job with that. He, of course, has since separated himself from McConnell because of Donald Trump. There's another book about McConnell that McConnell haters like. That is The Cynic by Alec McGillis. And that was written largely for the 2014 election when he faced Allison Lundergan Grimes. That is a polemic, but it's a fact-based polemic. So we already have four pretty good books. The best one is Mike Tackett's. The shortcoming of that book is that he doesn't really delve into Kentucky politics that much. Best example being there's no mention that he basically dried up Jim Bunning's money when Bunning wanted to run for re-election in 2010. And that led to the candidacy of Trey Grayson, who got beat by Rand Paul.
Yeah. Well, we are talking about the health of Senator Mitch McConnell, the questions it raises about aging members of Congress, and Kentucky's process for filling U.S. Senate vacancies. If you've got questions or comments, give us a call, 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at WVXU.org. Shane, I'm going to let you finish that thought you started there.
Yeah, well, I would say the two books I mentioned in particular, they highlight the fact that McConnell had polio as a young boy, and he's always been very private about that. And a lot of polio survivors are very private about their health. And so it's no surprise to me that he might be reluctant to share, especially if he's having trouble walking. You know, that's directly attributed to what he experienced as a young boy and his mom helping him recover and being able to walk. And that's always been a challenge of his. And I completely understand not wanting to talk about your health if that's your background.
Yeah,
he's avoided going downstairs for most as long as I've known him. And he acknowledged to me outside the interview that his polio leg has been giving him more trouble.
Yeah. Well, Al, let me ask you about this. The state's General Assembly changed the way Kentucky handles a U.S. Senate replacement. In fact, the process has changed a couple of times in recent years, right? Can you talk to us about that?
Well, I think the General Assembly wanted to change it even before 2020, when McConnell last ran for re-election. But they had a governor that they didn't really trust. So they waited until 2021, I believe, and passed a law that says the governor can appoint a temporary senator, but he or she has to appoint one from a list provided by the governing body of the political party of the departed senator. And there were always constitutional questions about that. And I think that's one reason that in 2024, they passed a law that said there cannot be a temporary appointment, making us about the fourth state with that sort of law, that you have to have a special election. And in Kentucky, it takes a long time to have a special election. It takes 9 weeks, 63 days, because of all the procedures involving absentee ballots and military ballots and so on.
Yeah. Shane, do you know, Al referenced the General Assembly having a governor they weren't particularly fond of. Do you think these changes in this process, were they all about ensuring Governor Andy Beshear couldn't appoint a Democrat if anything happened to Senator McConnell and he couldn't finish his term?
No, what I think is this aligns us with the majority of states that have a special election process to fill vacancies. There's been several governors, even governors of my own party, that the General Assembly is not very fond of in the last couple of years.
Hey, Shane, I got to stop you on that. You know, most states have special elections. There are only four states that say you can't have a special election. You got to wait until, you can't have an appointment. You've got to have a special election. It's pretty unusual the way we're handling it.
So Al, you're saying most states allow a governor to appoint someone in if a U.S. Senate seat becomes vacant?
And provide for a special election. Typically you'll have a special election at the next regular election where federal offices are voted.
Okay. Shane, I want to let you finish your thought because we do have a very strong Republican majority in the Kentucky State House. So I think a lot of people saw these changes and thought they don't want Governor Andy making an appointment. Sure. But what are you saying about the way you feel like most states handle this?
Well, and even if he were to make an appointment, this is going to be in a highly politicized environment as he's running for president and, you know, largely talking about this for the media hits.
But he hasn't announced that yet, right?
I don't know whether he has or hasn't. It's pretty obvious to most of us. But the outcome is going to be the same of whatever special election. If there's a special election that's prior to the November election, there's very few, if any, scenarios where Andy Beshear is not the nominee and the senator. And the same for November 3rd's election. So really, a lot of this is a lot of hubbub about a very short time period. If there were to be a resignation and this process called. But at the end of the day, there's no resignation. There's no pressure to resign from McConnell's perspective. And so a lot of this is just palace intrigue on what might be possible.
Okay.
I told somebody today we're actually engaged in a parlor game being played out in public by a lot of people on social media who have an axe to grind or want to believe conspiracy theories. And it doesn't serve the public very well. I do think it has put Beshear under some pressure, and I'm not sure how much pressure there is. I don't know how to measure these social media impacts if not do something, then at least keep saying something. And I think McConnell may actually be letting Beshear stew in his own juice because Beshear sent him a letter on July 8th asking for more information. And he released that letter just a few minutes after he sent it to McConnell. I think a better way to have handled that would have been to had a private contact with McConnell's office. And if the response wasn't satisfactory, then release the letter. So McConnell doesn't have any great love for Andy Beshear right now, I think, because of the way he handled that.
Well, we're going to continue our conversation after a short break. And later in the program, does Graham Plattner's failed campaign speak to something larger about our politics and allegiance to party? This is Cincinnati Edition. We're working on a show in the lead up to the midterms, and we want to hear from you. Are you a young person voting this November? Which issues are guiding your vote? Give us a call at 513 513- 419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. We might use your comments on the air. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back with our conversation about the health of Senator Mitch McConnell, the questions it raises about aging members of Congress, and Kentucky's process for filling U.S. Senate vacancies. My guests are political commentator Al Cross and Kenton County Republican Party Chairman Shane Noem. You can join the conversation. Call 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Al, we were talking about this process that Kentucky lawmakers changed, the ins and outs of that. Do you think if it were to happen that Mitch McConnell doesn't finish his term for some reason, do you think Governor Beshear might challenge that new law in court or just make an appointment and expect a court challenge over his appointment?
I don't know. My guess is he probably would try to make an appointment and get a clear ruling from a court. You know, Section 152 of the Constitution gives him the power to fill vacancies in offices of the state at large. But the Constitution deals only with state offices. And while U.S. Senator is an office of the state at large, it's not referenced at all in the U.S. In the state constitution. It's governed by the U.S. Constitution. So I think he does not have that authority under Section 152, but I'm not a lawyer, and you can make a legal argument that he would have that authority. In addition to courts standing in the way, the Senate is the ultimate arbiter of who sits in the Senate. So they could refuse to seat someone appointed by Beshear that they didn't think had followed the proper procedure.
Shane, Senator McConnell had already decided he wouldn't run for re-election. You mentioned that Andy Barr is the Republican who's running for that seat at the end of his term. Do you think there's any chance he might decide to leave office before his term ends? That doesn't sound like him, does it?
No, I don't think so, unless he sees that he can't fulfill the duties to his ability. But I think what we need to go back to is maybe we need to give this guy a little bit of grace. You know, he's served us since the 80s. He has delivered $65 billion in resources to Kentucky, and he's been out of pocket for a very short period of time over the dog days of summer, where not a lot gets done anyways, in a pretty gridlocked Congress. So I think there's something you said for let's give him a little grace for all he's done for Kentucky. I think it's the least we can do for him.
Al, I do want to talk about how long Senator McConnell has been serving Kentucky in Congress. I think it's 42 years. Your column referenced that he's been right in Congress. There have been a lot of people talking recently after what's happening with Senator McConnell's health, after the sudden death of Senator Lindsey Graham, that, hey, what does this say about all the older people who are serving in Congress, in the House and the Senate? Does this raise questions in your mind about aging politicians in Congress? We got a call from Matt who wonders how much term limits should factor into this whole discussion. What do you think about that?
Well, term limits wouldn't affect the Senate much in these cases. Mitch McConnell was in fine shape when he was reelected in 2020. He's nearing the end of a six-year term, and now he's in pretty bad shape. I think the average age of the Senate is 66, and that's too old, frankly. I think that life expectancy has gotten to the point that maybe there should be an age limit on service in Congress and the Supreme Court and the presidency. When the Constitution was written, you know, life expectancy was somewhere around 45 years old. So I think it's time to consider that because, as one commentator pointed out, many of our elected leaders are far past the age of their greatest competence, and they're so completely insulated from the consequences of public opinion that they face no risks for staying in jobs that they're no longer capable of doing. That was written by Mara Donegan in The Guardian. And like Shane, I do think we deserve to give Mitch McConnell some grace because he has been Kentucky's longest serving senator and the longest serving party leader in the Senate. But I think we'd be better off if he'd do a 30-second video.
What, Shane, what do you think about this whole idea about just aging members of Congress? Certainly Mitch McConnell's been there for a long time. As you mentioned, he's done a lot for the state in terms of bringing back federal investment. But are there concerns about these aging members of Congress?
Yeah, we often hear this idea of the age limits. And I think you try that and you're going to get some pretty legally sticky grounds. That's pretty discriminatory to say just because you're old, you're now no longer mentally qualified to represent constituents. I know a lot of 38-year-olds that I went through school with that I don't think they're sharp enough to be a member of Congress. And McConnell, for any health challenges he has, he's the smartest guy in every room and has been for most of his career. And so I don't think that's a line of thinking that we need to be going down. And on the term limit side as well, I've always been anti-term limits from the perspective of we have term limits. They're called elections. And I don't want to undermine the voters' ability to say when is enough is enough. We've seen incumbents, longtime incumbents lose. We've seen members of leadership lose. Tom Daschle being a previous party leader in the Senate that lost. And that was after a storied career. So I just think these limits are a momentary conversation after the Biden presidency and other high-profile members going through the national spotlight because of their age. I don't think this is a healthy conversation for us to be engaging in long-term as a country of putting caps and limits and restrictions on who should be serving.
Al, I want to let you comment on that again because you know, there are age restrictions for like airline pilots, and there are jobs where, you know, big decisions and safety. A lot of corporations have age limits that once somebody reaches a certain age, there's mandatory retirement. I certainly understand what Shane's saying, but do you want to weigh in with anything more on that?
Well, I don't have any firm opinion on the question. I do think it is one that needs to be considered. It, of course, would have to be a constitutional amendment, which is very difficult to pass. I think those organizations you're talking about with age limits are big organizations. The U.S. Senate is 100 people, 50 states, and, you know, as Shane points out, we do have elections and people sometimes do get voted out. But incumbency is a pretty strong thing. And I think that once you master the job of getting reelected, you usually do get reelected. And I used to be against term limits for members of Congress and the legislature, but I actually now am open to that idea because I think too many members, too many legislators at the state and federal level get elected with the right motivation, but then their prime directive becomes staying in office, and that's unhealthy.
Well, there are also, you know, criticisms for people who start being interested in seeking other offices. Al Shane mentioned earlier that he feels pretty confident that Governor Andy Beshear wants to run for president. What do you think about that?
Oh, he's absolutely running for president. And I think that's one reason or one factor in how he handles this situation. Because McConnell is such a prominent person, you know, former leader, Democratic bogeyman, his status is naturally going to be of more interest than some other senator in that situation. And Beshear has a reputation or image of being a nice guy who's not very tough. And I think in this case, he may be posturing himself to look tough because there are legitimate concerns here. And he is the governor, and he believes he has the appointment authority.
Well, we just got a comment from Nick who writes, I think it is ridiculous that people on the radio are asking for us to give grace to someone who is a public figure and a notable public figure. I think it's ridiculous that we're sane washing this man who has done so many awful things to this country. Absolutely disgraceful. Clearly not a fan of Senator McConnell, and he has been very divisive over the years for sure, but wanted to make sure we got that perspective from our listener, Nick. Well, I have been talking with political commentator Al Cross. Thank you so much for your time today, Al. We really appreciate
it. You're welcome.
Kenton County Republican Party Chairman Shane Nome is going to stay with us for our next discussion about whether Graham Plattner's failed campaign speaks to something larger about our politics and allegiance to party. This is Cincinnati Edition.